some time ago, there was some suggestions made for lessons to be given or classes to be taught. One of those that was submitted was the Apostles' Doctrine. Now, I know that a lot of you know and understand what the Apostles' Doctrine is as well as I do. Could give this lesson as well, maybe more, maybe better than I can today. But I think in this time it is not only the Apostles' Doctrine that is ignored by the world at large, but God's doctrine is ignored. Jesus' doctrine is ignored, as well as the Apostles' Doctrine. The Bible and its teaching is not something to be obeyed by the world at large today. It's considered not relevant. Apostles' doctrine is not followed today, and if so, it is only selectively followed. Teaching of the Bible is directly disobeyed in the interest of satisfying man's desire to be tolerant, to be loving, to be inclusive, and there seems to be no limit that they will go to in order to carry out their thinking on this. Once one standard of decency is breached, they go on to the next, and there's no end to where they want to go. In the process, they become the most intolerant, exclusive, and unloving of all. They preach tolerance and love, but they themselves become exclusive and unloving in what they do. In the past few days, we have seen the business of the United States virtually come to a halt because of the visit of one man. The media going nonstop, man that had come to visit the United States. This man was elevated to the title of the Holy Father. And him accepting all of the praise and adulation, all the while preaching humility. He taught against taking care of the poor and the suffering, and yet all the while accumulating billions of dollars in real estate and using millions of dollars to maintain the status in the palm. But I digress somewhat. Jesus entrusted his message and to his apostles, and therefore much of our duties to God, to our fellow man, our obedience requirements, the ways that we are to conduct ourselves and live our lives are contained in the Apostles' Doctrine and in the Apostles' teaching. There's a prominent teaching today that all we need to do is follow Jesus and the Gospels. Of course, the teaching of Jesus and the Gospels are absolutely necessary for us to follow. But I believe also that the Apostles' Doctrine is absolutely necessary for us to believe and practice as well today. First, some definitions. These are from Thayer and from Vine. The word apostle means a sending away, release, a messenger, one that is sent with orders. In Luke, the 6th chapter and verse 13, and when day came, he, speaking of Jesus, called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. And in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and verse 28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles. What is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is instruction. That which is taught. So it is the act as well as the message. In Acts, the 2nd chapter and verse 42, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Romans 1 and 5, through whom Jesus, we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake. So the apostles were chosen to carry on and further the work of Jesus Christ. The verse in Acts, the new Christians continued in the doctrine of the 12 apostles. And in Romans, the apostle Paul said he was being sent about to bring about the obedience of faith among all of the Gentiles. And it was while Jesus was with his apostles that he revealed to them the work that they had been chosen for. John records for us, and Brother Robbie read for us, several verses in John, verse 14 and 26, verse 15, 16, 26, and 27. chapter 16, 7, 8, 13, and 15, and 17, verses 17, 18, 21, and 26, where Jesus told them, "The Holy Spirit will be with you to bring to your mind all that you have heard of me, to be witness to the world, to bear fruit in it. You are ordained to do so, to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. You will be guided in all truth. You will be sanctified through it. For this cause you have been chosen. For this cause you have been chosen, that the world might believe in me." In the exchange between Jesus and the Apostle Peter in Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 18 to 19, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So based upon Peter's confession that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, Jesus chose him to receive the keys or the authority of the kingdom of heaven, which is the church, to bind and loose. And that authority, Christ said, would be approved in heaven. No greater authority could be sought than to be approved in heaven. When Jesus met with his apostles after his death and resurrection, he gave them final instruction before his ascension. In Matthew, the 28th chapter, verses 19 and 20, and Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, in Acts, the first chapter, and verse 8, in Acts 4 and 33, and in Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 42, he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching, which is doctrine, them to observe all things that I have commanded unto you. He commanded them to teach unto the people of this Jesus, the one that was sent from God. So let us consider what was the authority of the Apostle Paul then. We've talked about the authority and the mission that was given to the 12 apostles. We know that the Apostle Paul also was chosen. He wrote 13, maybe 14, of the books of the New Testament. If you'll permit me just to summarize some of the things that are said about the Apostle Paul as far as his authority was concerned. I know that you're familiar with these, so let me just summarize them for you. In Acts, the 9th chapter, in verse 15, it said, "He, Paul, was a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." In Acts 22nd chapter, verses 14 and 15, "God hath chosen thee to know his will and to see that just one and hear the voice of his mouth and witness what you have seen and what you have heard." In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 5 and 6, Paul says, "I am not a whit behind the chiefest of apostles, rude in speech, but not in knowledge." In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verses 11 and 12, the Apostle Paul again says, "In nothing am I behind the chiefest apostles, and the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, and signs and wonders and mighty deeds." In Galatians, the first chapter, verses 11 and 12, "The gospel which I preach is not of man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." And in chapter 2 and verse 8 of the same Galatians, "The same Jesus that worked through Peter as the apostle of the Jews worked in me also in the Gentiles." The same authority given to the apostle Peter for the Jews, that same worked in me to the Gentiles. In 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, "Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord?" In writing to the Galatians, the Ephesians, the Colossians, to Timothy and to Titus, Paul declared himself to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, not by the will of men, but by the will of God, by his work, for his work, and by his authority. The apostles chosen by Jesus personally on earth and specifically commissioned to carry out his message to the world after his death, beginning in Jerusalem, then in Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Do we need to hear and obey Jesus? I think surely everyone would say yes, unless you are an atheist, unless you do not believe in God. Do we need to hear and obey the apostles' teaching? Surely, I think we would say yes, unless we are an atheist, do not believe in God. They were uniquely equipped to do this, having been with Jesus since he began his teaching, provided with a message of the Holy Spirit, a measure, rather, of the Holy Spirit, which allowed them to remember all that Jesus had taught them and to perform miracles, to convince others of the truth of their message, and to pass the gifts of the Holy Spirit to others to continue and to support their teaching until their teaching could be written down. The Apostle Paul, though not with Jesus on earth and not chosen by him while on earth, he was no less personally chosen by Jesus when he called on the road to Damascus to bear his name to the Gentiles, to kings, and to the children of Israel. And though not with Jesus on earth to receive his teaching, Paul says the things he taught were not of man, but received by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul also received the gift of the Holy Spirit to perform miracles, to convince others of his message, to speak the truth of Jesus Christ, to write of the duties and responsibilities of all Christians, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The apostles' doctrine and teaching are matters of life and death. Jesus told his apostles that when the Spirit came to them, he would guide them into all truth. The apostles were then to speak the truth to all the world, to record, guided by the Holy Spirit, God's word in the apostles' mouths, in the same way that the gospel was in the apostles' mouth, in the same way that the word was given to the prophets of old. The Apostle Paul summed up, let me turn over and read this passage for you in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, and beginning in the 1st verse, the Apostle Paul sums up for us the calling of himself and the other apostles to preach the gospel. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And the revelation that Paul summarizes here for us was made known to Paul. It was not made known in ages past, but now it had been revealed to Paul. It had been revealed also to his holy apostles and prophets. By the Spirit, it was revealed to them that the Gentiles, you and I, were to be fellow heirs with the Jews and partakers of the promise of the gospel. While the apostles were alive and during the first century, the Apostle John, as I understand, the last to die around the end of the first century. But during their time here on earth, they preached and taught personally all over the world and wrote down for the early church and for us that teaching and preaching. And since the creation, God has never left man without a way to know his will and to know how to be pleasing unto him, to be acceptable. First communicating with them directly, and then through representatives to direct in direct contact with God or guided by his Holy Spirit, all done so that man is without excuse. There is no excuse if man does not know. Man cannot say, I didn't know. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And neither can we. If we are ignorant of his commands, it is because we choose not to know. If we do not obey, it is because we choose not to obey, not because we do not know. The law of Moses was written down, and many times the children of Israel chose not to obey it. The apostles' doctrine directed by Jesus and his representatives, has been written down. And what are we to do with it then? They are directed by the Holy Spirit in this endeavor. What does mankind choose to do with the apostles' doctrine? Let's consider some of the apostles' doctrine. Most of you are aware of these. Some of these verses we'll just reference, summarize for you if that's okay, and then you can jot these scriptures down if you want to follow up with them. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit was given to the apostles in a miraculous way in Acts, the second chapter, establishing of the church. Peter reminded the Jews that were assembled there of God's plan, and that this was which was prophesied, and that they had killed the Son of God. And they said, "What shall we do? What shall we do because of this?" In Acts, the second chapter, beginning in verse 38, Peter tells them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of you, and to your children, promised also, and to all those that are afar off. And they that gladly received the word were baptized and continued in the apostles' teaching, in the apostles' doctrine. In all of the rest of the New Testament, is there another way of salvation mentioned? Is there another way to be saved that is mentioned anywhere in the New Testament? Or is it commanded? No, there is not. There's not another way other than the one that the Apostle Peter mentions here in Acts, the second chapter. Mentioned in many other places in the New Testament as well. Do we need to obey this today? Do we need to obey this way to salvation today? The apostles' doctrine, part of it. Sometime later in Acts, the fourth chapter, verse 10 through 12, there is salvation in no other name other than Jesus only. Salvation preached today in other names, many times, in many ways, and many names. Jesus, salvation is preached today. But Peter tells us that there is only one way to Jesus for salvation, and that is through the name of Jesus Christ. More doctrine from the Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verses 13 through 17, what is the Christian lifestyle now? Peter reminds us to gird up the loins of our mind. Be ready to do battle with Satan. Be sober, be obedient, not modeling our life after the lust of our former life, but be holy, be set apart for God's work. More doctrine from the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 11 through 17. Abstain from fleshly lusts that war against our souls. Set the good example for evildoers. Obey the laws of the land, which is the will of God. More Peter, 1 Peter, the third chapter, verse 14 through 17. Be not afraid if you suffer for righteousness' sake, but be happy and sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready to give an answer to all who question our faith, and do so with meekness and fear, with good conscience, silence the false accusers. That verse sound familiar? More doctrine from the Apostle John. 1 John, the first chapter, verses 5 through 10. To summarize again, there is no fellowship for the Christian in darkness and not in the truth. But walking in light as Jesus is the light, we have fellowship with each other. The blood of Christ has cleansed us. We deceive ourselves if we say we have no sin. But if we confess, God is faithful and just to cleanse us and to forgive us. More gospel, more doctrine from the Apostle John. 1 John, the second chapter, verse 15 through 17. Love not the world or its things. We cannot love both the world and our Father. All in the world is not of the Father, but is of the world, which will pass away, John says. The doer of the will of God, however, will abide forever. More doctrine from the Apostle John, 1 John, the fourth chapter, verses 7 through 8. We are to love one another, for love is of God, and is of God and knows him. But if we love not, we do not know God, for God is love. More doctrine from the Apostle John, 2 John, verses 8 through 10. Do not falter from the way we have chosen to live. If so, we will receive a full reward. If we transgress and remain not in the doctrine of Christ, we do not have God. If we do remain in the doctrine of Christ, we have both the Father and the Son. And if another bring another doctrine to you, do not receive him and do not wish him well. From these verses, we can see how the apostles' doctrine and teaching is given to us for guidance, for correcting, for affirming our faith, for giving us hope, for giving us salvation, for giving us love, and teaching us about the reward that waits for us. Some of the Apostle Paul's doctrine in Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 4, again to summarize, the grace of God is not our license to sin. Because we are dead to sin, we cannot live in it. We have been baptized into Jesus Christ, a like figure into his death. We have been buried with Jesus by baptism into his death. And like Jesus, who was raised up from the dead, we also are raised up to walk in a newfound life. More doctrine from the Apostle Paul, Romans the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Our lives are not our own. We are a living sacrifice. We are holy, set apart. The world is over for us. We are no longer conformed to it, but we are changed completely by the renewing of our inward person to serve the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. More doctrine from the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, verse 16 and 17. God has expectations for us. We are the temple of God. The Spirit dwells in us, and as such we are to treat it as holy, as set apart for his purposes. More doctrine from the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 6th chapter, verses 6 through 9, or 9 through 10, rather. Anyone who is not in right relationship with God will not inherit the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul lists some behaviors which are not acceptable to God. Fornication, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. This lifestyle, Paul says, will not inherit heaven. Pretty blunt, and pretty plain. More doctrine from the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Be steadfast, unmovable, rooted and grounded, fixed in purpose, fixed in faith, with our eye on the goal, always, always abounding, always excelling in the work of the Lord, his work. We can know what the work of the Lord is by observing his work in the Gospels, and then we can try to emulate that work in our lives. And Paul says, we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. That is the comforting part of the apostles' doctrine for us, not only telling us how to live, how to conduct ourselves, how to live our lives so that we be acceptable to him, but he also tells us of the rewards that are waiting for us. And we could go on and talk about the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teachings. There are many more that we could look at. I want to look at one final passage that the Apostle Paul gives us in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 6 through 8. Paul says, I have fought the good fight, fought against Satan, sometimes against themselves, sometimes against sin, those that would do him harm. In beatings, Paul says, in prisons, stoned, shipwrecked, hunger, thirst, fastings, cold, and the care of all the churches. Paul says, I have finished my course. What was his course? Called by God. Assigned by God. Paul accepting that course and fulfilled it. Preaching to the Gentiles and the children of Israel. And kept the faith, never wavering, throughout all of his suffering and persecution. And Paul says, and this is for us, listen. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness given to him by the Lord, the righteous judge of all. And Paul includes you and me in this promise. And to all that love his appearing, that love the promise of his coming. This is just by a few of the apostles' doctrine. And we can see from this review of these how important it is for us to know and for us to accept the apostles' doctrine as things that we need to believe and things that we need to obey. They were given the direct authority by the Lord before he departed this earth to carry on his work and his mission. And then the Apostle Paul, specifically chosen on the road to Damascus to carry out the work of the Lord here on earth and preaching the gospel. We need to receive and accept the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine today. And as I mentioned earlier in Acts, the second chapter, where Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." There is no other example given us in the New Testament of salvation that is different from that one. So today we leave you with this. We ask, if you're here and you're not named the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you have not accepted him, we give you an opportunity to do that this morning, or if there's anything else that we can help you with as we stand and as we sing today.